artists and others considering therapy might gain some insight from Dr. Eileen Serlin, a psychotherapist in the San Francisco Bay Area who specializes in dance therapy. Dance is just one of many artistic and creative alternatives to traditional psychological counseling and psychiatric intervention. For some, Serlin says such approaches might just be the key to unlocking otherwise jammed doorways.
All the arts together, dance, music, painting, poetry, are under a label called the creative arts therapies. You can look them all up separately. You can look up music therapy or art therapy, or you can look up, they have a consortium called the creative arts therapies. And then there's a third option called the expressive therapies, which happens to be more popular on the West Coast, where they use all the arts together. The belief is that naturally they go together and they amplify each other. If you go from, you know, singing to moving, they're all woven together in the expressive therapies.
Can you give me a little overview of your dance therapy practice?
A dance therapist is a blend. We use the arts to work with people. The arts are a modality, not the subject. So I use movement as a language. Verbal communication is only one line of communication. There's a lot going on. We call it below the surface or nonverbal communication. Sometimes I just observe the way somebody walks in the room, the way there's a whole lot of information we get about people. And we were trained as dance therapists. Everybody has a movement profile, just like we have a personality. Number two, we use the movement as an intervention. The third assumption is that a lot of people's emotions and so forth, and I work a lot with trauma people, are not available to the conscious mind. The body has gone numb. So movement awakens a lot that, if you're just talking, are not available to many of us.
How does someone know which of these is right for them? And does an artist or a creative, should they approach it from their own specific discipline? Meaning if they're in dance or in theater, should they look for therapies that are already rooted in those realms, or is that not so important?
Great question. It's not so important. It works both ways. On the one hand, yes, start with what's ever comfortable for you. Some people, if you say the word dance, people go, oh, I can't dance. Immediately, you know, all our worst nightmares of being, you know, 8 years old and pushed into a dance class or something come up. Same thing with art, actually. You know, I can't draw a straight line. We feel that everybody's a dancer or an artist. Some people use, so we call it dance movement therapy, because some people use movements of everyday life, the way you walk in the room, whether you shake hands or not, there's always movement going on. We don't want to scare people. But the other thing is, dance has a long history in healing. I'm really interested in ceremonial dance, weddings, ritual dances. I work a lot cross-culturally, and the arts talk to people cross-culturally. I've worked with Syrian refugees in Jordan. I do belly dance with the women. So it's a question of making a relationship with people. And the arts, you don't need verbal language. And if you know their culture, there's an immediate connection. Art's a universal language. So that's our starting place.
So while these therapies are certainly open to anyone, regardless of whether they work or dabble or tiptoe into the creative fields in their own lives, I would imagine professional performing artists, visual artists, literary artists, they would maybe have more faith in these kinds of therapies than traditional talking to a counselor sort of therapies. Am I safe in thinking that that might be the case for many people who are creatives?
Absolutely. And the reason I say creative arts therapists is to be a dance therapist, for example, it's a master's program or its equivalent, which means we get 2 years of everything from kinesiology and a lot of different ethnic dance styles, because this is cross-cultural and culturally sensitive. But we also get group process and how to work with trauma and how to work one-on-one with someone.
On a verbal level, when you deal with in a traditional counselor-patient relationship, where tell me what's going on in these 50 minutes that we have, and how do you begin in your practice when there's so much that's piled on your clients? How do you begin to unravel that in a way that is purging and healing for these people?
So what do artists have that's unique that we deal with? One is the feeling of being understood. So just by identifying myself as an artist already forms a bond that they often don't get with a more straight therapist who's trying to help them be more practical and make practical decisions. This goes with a controversy, which is, do artists have to be like manic depressive? If I lose my madness and my fear of being a normal person, don't take away my wildness and my madness. And do I need my madness? You know, I don't have any wild mood swings anymore, but I don't feel anything. And what happened to this fountain of creativity? So there's A, that artists tend to, and we understand that. I can be very dramatic. So I understand that that comes with the territory. And the other that an artist will understand is the need to express oneself. There's a certain drive that some non-artists don't have the same drive. Creative self-expression for artists is a particularly important, and you don't want to be put in a box by a therapist. Therapists have often been viewed as sort of tools of the establishment to get people to behave better or to fit in. And artists don't want to fit in necessarily. They don't want to be with somebody who's always going to push them to do that.
Dr. Eileen Serlin is a psychotherapist in the San Francisco Bay Area specializing in dance therapy.